Our scripture readings today come from, the first one comes from Mark chapter 10. Listen for God's word. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. And then from Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." The word of God for the people of God. My son Sam and I went on a hike this past week while Tammy, Sophie, and Benjamin were at the Presbyterian Youth Trianum. Sam and I walked around and over Turkey Mountain for a little over 2 miles, working our way over the rocks and the roots, talking about this and that, learning how the trail signs work, enjoying a hot and muggy day. Sort of. It felt a little bit like I was back on my pilgrimage on the Camino Francés in Spain. No emails or texting, no calls to make or take, no place I had to be, nothing else competing for my attention. Just walking with a really good companion, enjoying time together, being where our feet are. For most of the walk, we didn't see anyone else. I imagine the humid weather kept people away. I was drenched with sweat by the time we returned to our car. Still, we had the trail to ourselves and the quiet that comes with that. But about halfway through our walk, a couple came walking toward us. The woman said, "Hello." And the man said, "How's it going?" Now, normally, I would say hello back and how's it going back to someone who says that to me. It's what we do with one another. But after my 8 days of walking in Spain as a pilgrim, I had this urge to say, "Hola, buen camino." It's the most common phrase pilgrims say to one another along the Camino. Whether you speak Spanish or not, hola and buen camino are words that anyone from any country can say. And they regularly did on my walk. I don't remember meeting anyone who didn't say those words. Hola, buen camino. On my pilgrimage, I discovered much that those words mean. Simply put, we're saying, "Hello, have a good walk, have a good route." They're words of encouragement. They're simple words that communicate that I see you as a pilgrim, and when I hear them, I understand the same from you. Hola and buen camino were all the Spanish that some people knew, but that was enough, it turned out. Enough to acknowledge that we're all pilgrims on a journey. I came to realize that those simple words were really a blessing. We were really saying, whether I see you again or not, I hope your journey is blessed. I hope it continues well. I hope you reach your destination. I hope you are strengthened for your journey. And whether the people speaking the words knew it or not, on a pilgrimage, I think they were also saying, I hope you meet God. So back on the Turkey Mountain Trail, and that urge I had to say, hola, buen camino, I didn't say it. I got worried about their response. I worried about how weird it would sound to the people who weren't expecting to hear that and may not see their hike as a pilgrimage. So I said what I often say and often hear. How's it going? And here's what happened after I said it and we continued walking. I didn't feel the same about a blessing that pilgrims offer to one another. How's it going? I mean, it's a phrase that we say, like lots of phrases. How's it going? How are you? What's up? I once asked somebody, how's it going, as they were walking toward me, and he replied, what do you care? But his question back to me sums up what those phrases often communicate in our fast-paced culture. We move so fast. We drive from one place to another so quickly. Everything is so instant that we rarely have time to listen for the response to the question. We don't answer the question. We just ask it back. It seems like it's now a phrase that doesn't really want a real response. How's it going? Well, thanks for asking. My wife and two children are at Purdue University this week for an amazing youth conference. I'm glad they're there, but I really miss them. It's also given me an opportunity to spend some time walking with my son and have some one-on-one time with him. How's it going? Well, while my family was packing for their trip, our water heater started spewing water from a hole in the top of the tank, and rust started dripping down the side. We took cold showers for a couple of days and relied on the hospitality of friends and their showers at their houses. And of course, this would happen while we were trying to pack. Of course, things break at the most inconvenient times. And of course, I now have a bill for a water heater that I didn't expect I was going to have to pay right now. Can you imagine how that guy would have responded if I had said all that to him? I mean, even if it was true. Honey, we need to keep walking and move quickly. But maybe I should have said buen camino. Even if that couple didn't know what it meant or why I was saying it, at least I would have left them with something real, a blessing. In his book, The Way is Made by Walking, Arthur Paul Boers writes, why not encourage every believer we meet with a blessing? Is it so hard to find a simple phrase to inspire others on the path in their following of Jesus, the way, the true Camino? And why only believers? What could we offer everyone we encounter? Can we not commend them to God without sounding self-righteously pushy? Boers' questions in the common phrase of the Camino are important things to think about these days in the midst of other phrases we've heard this week. It's one thing to say, Houston, the eagle has landed. And that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind on the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11's lunar landing. We can hear in those words the possibilities for our journey ahead as human beings. Where could we go next? It's quite another to hear, send her back, chanted about a congresswoman of color, knowing that the message in those words is that you are less of a person because of the color of your skin and the country from which you and your family came. Words of blessing, or racist words of cursing? What do we as people of faith want to offer everyone we encounter? What blessing do we as followers of Jesus want others to have? I would encourage you to read and reflect on the scripture verses that are from Proverbs that are in the margin of the bulletin today. They speak about the impact of the words we offer people. In the main readings, in our scripture lessons this morning, we hear two examples in which Jesus and the Apostle Paul have decided what they want to offer people they encounter. In the reading from the Gospel of Mark, this familiar passage follows after Jesus has spent time talking about how vulnerable women were in his time. They could be dismissed by their husbands easily. They were property, not equal partners in a relationship. If the husband didn't like what his wife, his property, had done, whether it was adultery or simply burning the meal, he could divorce her and send her away. She was vulnerable to his way of thinking. There was no safety net, and she certainly didn't have the security of an education or a career to fall back on. Jesus was raising the bar and the expectation for how women would be viewed and treated, especially by people who followed his way of life. As Jesus was trying to raise the standard of how women were to be treated, people were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. Touch is such a powerful thing. It can make a person feel special. It can make them feel noticed. It's the kind of scene that reminds me of a former church member who told me the story of being an 8-year-old and standing at a train station in Dutchess County waiting for President Franklin Roosevelt to get off the train. He just wanted to see the president. But then when the president exited the train, the president saw the young boy, my church member, and he went over and he patted him on the head. And even in his 80s, when that man told me about that experience, it was as if he could feel the touch of the president right there, of being noticed and made to feel special by that touch. Jesus' disciples, however, didn't get what Jesus was trying to do for women or for children. They spoke sternly to the children, as in the way Jesus spoke to demons and evil spirits, as if they were not welcomed, as if they were of no value, or were a burden, or harmed an adult's way of life, as if they were property more than people. Jesus got so angry with the disciples at the way they were treating the children that he said, "Let the little children come to me." That's the way we should hear it. Jesus is angry when he says this. "Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Now I'm always amazed that people focus more on that last sentence about becoming a little child than actually working to get children to Jesus. Do I have to become a little child to enter the kingdom? Do I have to give up what I know at my age and think like a child? Do I have to give up my education, my possessions, my place in life? Yes, Jesus is saying. If all of that keeps you in a privileged place and from standing with vulnerable people like children and the way they were often treated as property back then and maybe even today with little value like places on our border. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell this story, which says something about how much they want us to hear it. But only Luke includes the ending we read today. Jesus took the children into his arms, laid his hand on them, and he blessed them. The Greek word for blessed here is the word eulogio. From that word, we get our word eulogy. Most often, we offer a eulogy at the end of a person's life. Often a celebration of who they were and what they did. We bless their life after it's over. The Greek word here suggests something different. Jesus blessed the lives of children as their lives began, as they were in front in their one of their most vulnerable places. He didn't wait for something bad to happen to them and speak kindly to them after their death. He named the future he wanted for them. He told them how valuable they were right then and there and what he hoped their life would become. He blessed them, and that blessing is what he left with them. And then the fulfillment of that blessing is what he worked for with his very life. Paul does something similar in our second scripture lesson. He offered the Ephesians a rich, complex, deeply spiritual blessing. I pray that God may grant you to have the strength in your inner being with the power of the Spirit. I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you become rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend what the saints in heaven already know, the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of God's love for you. I pray that you may know, the love of Christ that surpasses all understanding. I pray all of this so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Paul wrote those words from a prison cell. The cost of the work he did to spread that blessing of God's love in Jesus Christ with others. His work was the response to the prayer of blessing he gave to them. In his book, Arthur Bors quotes the ancient Jewish philosopher Philo of Alexandria. Philo lived about 20 years before Christ and died about 40 years after Christ. Philo is reputed to have said, "Be compassionate, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle." Be compassionate, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. Bors goes on to write, "On the Camino, many pilgrims ask themselves the most basic and most important questions. Who am I? What is the purpose of my life? Am I significant? Is how I behave important? How ought I to live? Is there reason for hope?" These are existential questions, Bors writes, the very concerns that Christians profess to know something about. That's why we're compassionate, because you and I know these questions personally. We know them ourselves, and we know what it's like to follow Christ and to seek answers to them. Those questions speak about a great battle that people are fighting, the kind of battle that we ourselves fight to answer them, the kind of battle that the stranger we meet may be fighting to answer, the kind of battle that children and families are fighting around this country, the kind of battle that people of color are fighting. What blessing can we offer to one another, to the stranger, the lost, the lonely, the left behind, that is compassionate to who they are and the battle they face, whether we know them or not? Whatever your answer to that question, may it be the kind of blessing that will embody the work that you and I are willing to do, and may it strengthen the receiver of your blessing for their journey ahead. Hola, buen camino. Amen.